Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 137 of D&D Discussions, the podcast for players and DMs alike, where we cover a wide variety of topics to help you with your games. I'm your host, Ryan Reeder, and with me, as always, is my good buddy, Ben Bumhoffer. How are you doing tonight, Ben?
I feel like I'm changing, or updating, if you will.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like Ben 2.0?
Yeah, exactly. The only difference, though, is that I am going to pronounce aluminum aluminium because I think it sounds more fun. So that is Ben 2.0 going forward.
Eventually, we'll get to Ben 5.5.
Yeah, exactly. And then when that happens, aluminium will be back to aluminum. And I'm only going to tease what else is going to be in there. Even worse lactose intolerance.
No, we don't want that. That's going the wrong way.
Well, it's a feature and it offsets some of the good stuff. So,
Oh, I mean, I think that's a good segue into some of the stuff we're going to talk about, because some of the stuff we're going to talk about is upgrades as well. And some of it, in our opinions, is going backwards.
Maybe so. A little.
Since our last episode came out, the fine folks at Wizards of the Coast dropped a brand new Unearthed Arcana called Arcane Subclasses.
Yeah.
This new playtest material drops nine new and updated subclasses for existing classes, all focused around the arcane. It is also the first video that Todd was not in, which was kind of jarring.
So jarring. Like, as soon as, like, oh, this is slightly awkward sitting there and they're not interacting at all. And, okay, you made choices. Yeah, that's fine.
Slightly jarring, slightly awkward. Get Todd back, please.
Yeah.
But the information was good. The UA is interesting. So we're going to talk through a little bit of that and just some of the new stuff. So in this new Unearthed Arcana, we have updates to the Arcana domain for the cleric, the arcane archer for the fighter, the hexblade warlock, and then the other four wizard subclasses that were not present in the 2025 or 2024 player's handbook update. So the conjurer, the enchanter, the necromancer, and the transmuter. And then there are two brand new ones called the tattooed warrior, which is a monk subclass. Yes. And then ancestral sorcery for the sorcerer. So we're just going to quick kind of give a little run through of the updates and then kind of dive in a little deeper to the brand new ones, because it's the tattooed warrior especially, I thought, looked pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll save that definitely towards the end, because we like to end on high notes. What can I say?
That's right. So let's start on the Arcana domain for the cleric. So this was originally introduced back in 2015 in the Sword Coast Adventurer's Guide. So it's kind of like a divine conviction, arcane mastery. So some of the highlights in the new subclass update, you get expertise in Arcana. That just makes sense. You get some extra wizard cantrips. You get the ability to reshape some of their spells on the fly, granting temporary hit points, imposing penalties on saving throws. They described it in the video as like a buff debuff type of subclass, which I thought was kind of interesting. And they also are going to get access to some of the higher level wizard spells as well. One of the ones they mentioned was Bigsby's hand. And the first thing that popped into my mind, was just this image of this cleric going, "The power of Christ compels you," and then slapping it with a giant, like, purple hand.
Oh, God. You know what? I think that The Exorcist would be so much better if that was actually what happened. Can you just imagine that? Just, you know,
it's a comedy now. It,
well, yeah. That'd be great. God.
Yeah, no, overall, changes looked pretty good. Looks like there's some nice updates and additions, just making it, kind of bringing it up to spec with some of the other new classes.
Yeah, and the whole point behind it is that they were talking about how this is a cleric who, you know, understands that, you know, the gods also have a hand in like the arcane arts and everything as well. So it, you know, it makes sense that if you want to kind of, you know, be a cleric and, you know, worship along that path, it's, you know, still part of life, still part of the universe and stuff. And I mean, yeah, the updates, you know, seem okay. You know, the buff debuff thing is kind of nice, but you know, I don't think it's a huge change from what we've had before, but I do like that at least, you know, like all of these, it's going to be kind of more lining up to their philosophy behind the 5.5 rules.
Yeah. Just in general, make it more fun.
Yeah, definitely.
A little more interesting, more mechanically relevant. So next, Ben, we had the Arcane Archer.
Yeah. I've played one of these and I got to say that I am kind of ready to play another one with this. The big thing is, of course, you know, automatically you get Arcana and Nature skills, as your proficiency, which is great because, I mean, really any subclass that we talk about should have proficiency in Arcana, if you ask me. Arcane Shot has actually been, changed and redesigned a little bit. And the best part is that now it uses any weapon that has an ammunition property. So you can use like guns and, you know, other things like that, which, I mean, as the name's Arcane Archer, it's not requiring you to actually, you know, do archery going forward, which I think is pretty great.
It makes it more versatile for sure. Yeah. Especially now with firearms being in the new player's handbook as kind of a thing. And, you know, your Planescape being out there, Spelljammer being out there as a thing. So this does make a lot of sense.
Yep, exactly. And the neat thing is, you know, the Arcane Shot is still in there. You still have all your different options and everything, which is great. You still have some fun stuff like your curving shots, you know, your just improved shots. You get, you know, an Arcane Shot die that turns into a D8, D10, D12. So, you know, kind of the same stuff that we have normally. But like overall, I like the fact that it also is starting to kind of incorporate that shot die into extra damage options as well for the shots that you select. So again, it's, you know, making use of a resource that is a die that a lot of the times before you just didn't roll as well for like actual damage or anything. So yeah, it's again, adding more flavor, more, you know, just fun to the specific class. So I'm
more shots again.
Yes, exactly. More and shots. I mean, these shots are a lot of fun and, you know, as I always say, shot. I never say that.
No, you never say that.
But anyways,
it is appropriate here.
Fun stuff.
Arcane Archer. The next up we have the Hexblade Warlock. This was of course introduced back in Xanathar's Guide to Everything. The new version has been tweaked to no longer be as reliant on the hex spell as its primary feature. So, which I think is probably good, this is really funny because they're like, it's not as reliant on the hex spell as a primary feature. You can basically, more things work towards, your Hexblade's curse. You can now use it more than once. And you can integrate it into spells, which is super cool. But it's funny that they're just like, people didn't like everything focused on just one thing.
Yeah.
And then they're just like, what if we made the Ranger all about Hunter's Mark?
What? Why would we do something like that?
So it's really funny.
But I mean, the difference there is that, you know, this is a subclass. The Ranger is the whole class. So, you know, it's different.
In some ways, that's even worse.
Yeah. I mean, just a tiny bit. You know, goodness. Unless you are an Arcane Archer. Yeah, then you can pretend that you're a Ranger, but you're actually a fighter.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, not a ton of updates. It's basically just more flexibility, mm-hmm. In a lot of ways, which is good. And then right after the Hexblade, we have our four wizard subclasses, the ones that were left out of the player's handbook. And immediately we hit the Conjuration Wizard, and they're just like, and I think Mackenzie was saying this in the video, and they're just like, people love benign transposition. We're just going to go all in on that for the Conjurer. And I played a Conjuration Wizard to level 15 in a 3-year campaign. Benign transposition was not the thing that is not the thing I think about. A teleport is not the thing I think about when I think Conjuration Wizard. Well, I mean, conjuring things.
Yeah, you need to go to the base word conjure, which obviously means running away to a different spot. Oh, sorry. That's my wrong dictionary. Shoot.
Yeah. So this is the subclass from this Unearthed Arcana. I think I have the biggest issue with the update, because the update basically makes it all about the benign transposition thing. So at level 3, you get the benign transposition spell, and then at level 6, it upgrades it to make it, you know, 60 feet. And then at 14, it upgrades it again. One of my biggest issues with this subclass change is that one of, in my opinion, the coolest parts of the Conjuration Wizard is completely gone now. And that is the minor conjuration feature. This was a super cool feature in the original Conjuration class that basically, as your action, you could conjure up an inanimate object in your hand or on the ground in an unoccupied space you could see within 10 feet. The object could be no larger than 3 feet on a side and weigh no more than 10 pounds, and its form must be that of a non-magical object. The object is visibly magical, radiating dim light. The object disappears after an hour when you use the feature again, or if it takes or deals any damage. Yeah. This had so many incredibly cool uses. I use this feature constantly in my campaign. And it makes sense. It's a wizard who is creating things, or should I say, conjuring things out of thin air. This is nowhere to be found in the new class, subclass. And I hate it. I don't like it. I don't like that benign transposition is the focus of wizards. You've already gotten tons of, like, you're already, they've gone a little too teleport happy.
Yeah,
I think. Well, a lot of other subclasses or classes have teleports and stuff now. Make Conjuration Wizards about creating things, summoning things. Like, they still have the durable summons at level 6. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if you're going to go all into something, go all into summons, not all into teleportation.
Yeah, and I mean,
rant over.
The whole, like, definition of School of Magic of Conjuration is that it does involve the transportation of objects and creatures from one location to another, or creating something out of nothing. So, like, I get that you're transporting it from somewhere, but moving yourself, I don't think works as well. You know, just, you tell me conjure, I think something appears out of nothing, or, you know, I'm creating something, or, you know, at least you have that whole, you know, distance teleporting something to you or whatever. But yeah, I don't like, I'm just going to jump around the battlefield like every single fae subclass we have, or, yeah, you know, anything that involves the world tree, or, you know, I understand.
And I've already got Misty Step.
Yeah, exactly. It's a spell that's already there. So I don't know. I just, I'm not as big a fan of this change as some of the other ones. I'm kind of with you on that. I would so much rather prefer to, I don't know, conjure a shield out of thin air or something like that. Not like a magical shield, but like an actual shield that'll pop in place or something.
Give me the minor conjuration feature back and improve that.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that would be so much cooler. And just because that was so useful outside of combat.
Mm-hmm.
For just doing cool things. And then in some ways, you know, seeing what you could get away with within the limitations of the feature. Like many times I made boxes to hide behind.
Yeah.
Like all boom, instant like hiding place, instant like cover. Like,
I mean, you're solid snaking it. It makes sense.
Yeah. Anyways, that's the only thing I got really passionate on. And I'm just like, I would so much rather just give up all the teleporty stuff,
mm-hmm.
bring back minor conjuration, just improve that two or three times instead of benign transposition. Like if you want to leave benign transposition as one of the things, cool, that's fine. Maybe even make it a little better so that you can have it teleport willing creatures or make other creatures make a save to teleport them. Like, cause if you're talking about swapping places and stuff and it only ever can affect you until level 14, and that's just swapping with a creature on a reaction, like make it more interesting, I guess, at least than I've already got Misty Step.
Yeah. I would much prefer something that would be teleport someone to like a space adjacent to me. Or something, as opposed to having me pop around everywhere. It's like, I guess the whole idea is that you want to either, you know, teleport a dangerous chasm or get away from, you know, a melee who's attacking you. Well, wouldn't it be so much more fun if someone comes to attack you and all of a sudden you bamf a barbarian right next to them or something like that?
Yeah.
Like that would be, I think, more fun than just like, oh, I'm just gonna move over here now. Okay, they're gonna spend their time to run after me.
Even if you kept it to just allies.
Yeah.
And didn't have the whole, you know, enemy thing beyond that level 14 upgrade. I think that would improve it. But at the end of the day, teleporting is not what I think of when I think of conjuration.
Yeah.
I think of creating things.
Exactly.
Because it's different than transmuting. Because transmuting is changing things that exist.
Yep.
Or altering things that exist. Whereas conjuration is, you know, bringing about things that weren't there before.
It's pulling the rabbit out of the hat.
Exactly. Exactly. So anyways, I don't know if the feedback is up yet. It will be on D&D Beyond. Make sure to fill out the survey. But I'm really feeling like I'm going to fill this one out, if nothing more, for the conjuration wizard, because I think it's not just like tweaks. I think it's the wrong direction.
That being said, if you think it's the right direction and we have no idea what we're talking about, let us know. Email us or post at our Discord or whatever, because we want to hear like positive takes on this. Because we're not no, not fight me. Discuss it civilly with you. But yeah, I'm serious about this. I'm curious to see what someone who is a big fan of this change, what they're thinking about.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be interested to see if like that's teleporting is like your first thought when someone says conjure.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So next we have the enchanter. This is the subclass that specializes in mind-altering magic. The new version swaps out the hypnotic gaze feature for the more versatile vexing movement, which allows you to disengage and dash after casting an enchantment. And it also includes the new enchanting talker feature, which grants an intelligence bonus on charisma checks and the ability to split enchantment spells against multiple targets. So some pretty cool updates, to them.
This vexing movement makes more sense to me than the conjuration one, because you're essentially being like, oh, look over there. And then you know, yoink, running away and stuff. It kind of, you know, it works for me. The split enchantment totally works. And I really like the idea of adding your intelligence modifier to, you know, like charisma checks and stuff. Because it's, you know, it's one of those ways where you like kind of techno babble your way through something, or, you know, are able to just kind of know exactly the right things to, you know, like three-dimensional chess someone or into a situation or deceive them or something. I think that that works really well. And I'm happy with the changes with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Completely agree. Next we have the Necromancer. The new version includes a redesigned spellbook feature that grants necrotic resistance and temp hit points when you cast necromancy spells, which is pretty cool. You can also now cast summon undead for free, which is awesome and makes total sense.
Oh yeah.
And gain new abilities that allow you to teleport and regain HP when seriously injured or near death. Again, the current design team seems very teleport happy, because there's teleports showing up in a lot of things. But in this case, in specific circumstances, I think it could make kind of sense. Like, I totally envision that as, like, the Necromancer goes down, the earth, like, swallows them up mm-hmm. and spits them out 30 feet away or whatever. That seems like a very, you know, undeady necromancery type thing to have.
Yeah, I think that's kind of cool. I wouldn't mind just be like, oh, I got hit, bruh, summon, you're being folded up into the ground or whatever. It's kind of cool.
So good updates there. And then transmuters. Transmuters, they basically get now gives you free transmutation spells to add your spellbook as a transmutation savant. The stone is now available at a lower level, the transmuter stone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you can create it when you finish a long rest. Yep. Then you have the brand new wondrous enchantment and split transmutation, which are basically you always have enhanced ability prepared and you can cast it once without a spell slot, which is kind of cool. And split transmutation is basically when you cast a transmutation spell, such as fly, that can be cast with a higher level spell slot to target an additional creature, you increase the spell's effective level by one. And you can use that feature a number of times equal to your intelligence modifier. So it's like, oh, you can have three people fly or yep. four people fly for a little bit of a cheaper spell slot.
Yeah. Three people flying for cool. the price of two.
Yeah.
Same with invisibility, stuff like that. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a little bit of a boost, so you don't have to waste those higher level slots on some of the, I guess, utility type stuff quite as much.
You know,
and then the, oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I just have something to throw at the end. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. I was saying, and then level 14, you get the Master Transmuter, which now basically as a magic action, you can consume the reserve of transmutation magic stored in your stone to choose one of the following benefits. But after you use it, your stone crumbles. So you'll have to make a new one after the long rest. But basically you can regain a number of hit points equal to twice your wizard level and ends curse on you. Including attunement to a cursed item. So kind of niche, but very cool. You can cast Raise Dead without a spell slot using the stone in place of the normally required material components. That's kind of cool.
Pretty cool.
Don't have to have a diamond in this case. And then a little more RP.
I love this.
Oriented, but you can restore youth. The bear permanently appears 3d10 years younger to a minimum of young adulthood, whatever that means, probably 18, 20, something like that. Right.
Yeah.
What's interesting about the wording of this is that it just says permanently appears, not that it actually makes you younger.
Yeah. So like, does
you
that
just
mean
appear
that
appear younger?
I look 20, but I still have the body of a 90-year-old.
or you have the body of a 20-year-old, but you feel 90.
I mean, either way. Yeah, I think that I
would thought that was just interestingly worded.
Yeah, I would run that as they're just younger. Because, you know, because there's spells or effects out there that actually do age you and stuff. I figure, you know what, go the other way. It's a level 14 master transmuter thing. Yeah. So, I mean,
it'd be a cool thing to like there. Be able to counteract like a banshee or ghost or whatever.
Yeah.
That can like drain they age you.
All of a sudden you're all whoop. Oh, I'm good. Then the banshee kind of looks at you and screams some more. Yeah. What I was going to say though, the one thing that I would like to see was I wish that they would throw in like some sort of enhanced polymorph, like not true polymorph, but like, maybe
because transmutation. Yeah.
Maybe, targets have disadvantage on their save roll, or you have advantage on concentration checks for it or something like that. Or you're able to polymorph to, I don't know, if it's like on yourself, a higher level CR or something like that, or something along those lines, higher level, then maybe you, if you use true polymorph, you can, you know, be anything or something. I don't know. Just kind of throwing that out there. I would just like to see polymorph in there somewhere with transmutation, because it kind of works, you know. Or maybe you can just change people into inanimate objects.
That would be very powerful.
Yeah. Does true polymorph do that? I don't remember. Oh, well,
I think true polymorph can make inanimate objects into living things.
I think you might. If I recall, right. I need, you know what? We're going to find out just super fast here. Don't mind me as I look it up and entertain people in the meantime.
I'm going to start talking about one of the new subclasses. All the ones that are just getting updated. But now there's two brand new ones in this. First being the Tattooed Warrior, which is the monk. So this is basically a monk that is focused around magical tattoos. So that's where the arcane part comes in. Drawing from a diverse body marking traditions from across the multiverse, Tattooed Warriors can use arcane power to imbue in their magical tattoos. These monks gain tattoos as they grow in martial prowess and insight. Tattooed warriors can use their tattoos to change shape, access a versatile suite of physical and magical effects to overcome foes. So at your level 3 subclass, you gain the magical tattoos described by other features in the subclass, that they appear on your body wherever you wish. Damage or injury doesn't impair them. They can look like a brand, scarification, a birthmark, pattern of scales, or any other cosmetic alteration. They have the saving throw of 8 plus your wisdom modifier plus proficiency bonus. And whenever you finish a long rest, you can reshape one of your magical tattoos, changing the option you choose from one list to another option in the same list. That's what I really like about this. Because this subclass has so much versatility. You basically start level 3 with beast tattoos. You get 2 animal tattoos, and you get to choose between bat, butterfly, chameleon, crane, horse, spider, and tortoise. So that just right off the bat, you have 7 different options at level 3. You get to choose 2 of them, and you can swap one of them out for another one every long rest. Yeah. That is extremely versatile.
And the fact that each of them has a cantrip involved, like in the tattoo, I think is really pretty great, because, you know, it gives you so much more versatility than just, okay, well, here's the thing that I have and there you go. But you get the cantrip, plus you're able to, you know, kind of utilize that focus point that you have into some sort of other like casting of yourself, which I think is pretty great. I'm pretty excited about that, especially when you look at like the crane, you get guidance as well as if you miss, then you can use, you know, flurry of blows without having to use any sort of resource or anything on it, which I think is pretty great. Let's see, the bat gives you dancing lights, but you can also use a focus to use patient defense or step of the wind. And then you get blind sight at that point for 1 minute, which, you know, is a really cool feature. Tied into powerful. That animal. And I mean, level 3 beast tattoos are great and awesome, but even more so once you move to level 6, you have celestial tattoos, which you get a comet, a crescent moon, eclipse, or sunburst. Comet doesn't make sense to me because you can cast fine traps, so yay. Crescent moon, though, gives you Misty Step, which, hey, everybody teleports. Eclipse gives you, you use 2 focus points, you cast invisibility. And then Sunburst, 2 focus points, gives you lesser restoration, which all of those are amazingly good things to have, especially on a monk who doesn't have any sort of, you know, like magical prowess for the most part.
Yeah. And again, this at this level, you only get to pick one of those 4,
mm-hmm.
but you could choose your one thing to swap to be one of the level 6 ones. So you could swap one of those at a long rest.
Yeah.
Again, all of those very good. All of them very situationally good. Like maybe you're going into combat. So you want that crescent moon. So you have that Misty Step mm-hmm. to be able to get around. Maybe you have someone who's affected by a poison or something like that. You want to go into lesser restoration.
Yeah.
Right. There's a lot of really good places where you need a stealth invisibility.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact that it uses focus points, which is great because you get those back after a short rest as a monk. So you just pop invisibility just all over the place.
So you'll be able to use these things a lot.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Then at level 11, you get a nature tattoo. And again, you only get to pick one. And there are 4 options: mountain, storm, volcano, and wave. Basically, these are the things that give you resistance. So resistance to like acid damage for the mountain. If you spend 3 focus points and then you get advantage on con saves for a minute. And then it's basically the same thing. Like storm is lightning and dex saves. Volcano is fire and strength saves. And wave is cold, resistance, and wisdom saves. So very, very versatile. And again, in a lot of situations, not all, you may have the time to customize it at the beginning of the day, knowing you're maybe going, I'm going into the plane of fire. So I probably should take volcano or whatever. I'm going against a lot of elementals or a blue dragon or something like that. So I'm going to pick storm.
Yeah.
So very cool.
And then on top of that, at level 17, you get your monster tattoo, which is a beholder, blink dog, displacer beast, or guardian naga. And some of these are pretty sweet. Like beholder, you can fly, you know, you have a fly speed of 10 and you can hover. But on top of that too, you can cast counterspell for 3 focus points.
That's super cool.
Blink dog gives you patient defense. You just use a focus point to do that, but you also get blink. The Displacer Beast is, Flurry of Blows or Step of the Wind, which I think is another cool thing that it's added from the level 1 beast thing too, which is pretty great. But then you also get Mirror Image, which makes sense for a Displacer Beast. Guardian Naga, when you're reduced to 0 hit points, your hit points instead change to the number equal to twice your monk level. So at level 17, you're automatically at 34 hit points if you go down to 0, which I think is pretty great. One thing about that, though, is that you only get that once per long rest with the Guardian Naga, but that's still a pretty great thing.
Great thing to prepare knowing if you're going into a tough fight.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
To do that right away. The Beholder one, being able to cast counter spells a monk.
Yeah.
Seems very good as well, especially at 17 when you have a ton of focus points.
Mm-hmm.
And spending 3 is not, you know, a super, super huge deal.
Exactly. And again, so, short rest, you get them all back.
Very, very cool subclass. I love the flavor. I love the versatility. I love the fact that you can swap stuff out, one of these out at a long rest, to be able to slowly change and adapt as you need to. I honestly, A+ subclass
mm-hmm.
for me. I think it's very, very cool, very flavorful. It seems like it'd be really fun to play.
Yeah, I think so.
And then finally,
Yeah, last but not least.
Ben, our last one. Ancestral sorcery. So what the heck is ancestral sorcery?
So let me ask this. Did you see the Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves movie?
Only three times in theaters.
Well, the sorcerer in there kind of has this when he tries to attune to something. Basically,
that's true.
Yeah. He sees grandfather or whatever.
Grandfather, I think. Yeah.
It's Ilmater. Basically is talking to him and trying to kind of guide him through his thing and stuff, through sorcery. But essentially what this
you
is,
suck.
Not exactly the best guidance, but
what's really funny just from that is this subclass has a ton of potential just right off the bat from an RP component.
Yes.
Perspective for the DM to be able to play around with.
Exactly. And the idea is that you have basically this super magical ancestor who, you know, had power, and you get a fragment of their personality that guides you in some way. Either, you know, maybe they're still alive, or they're a descendant. There's reincarnation, some sort of curse that's been handed down to you and stuff. Like, I think it's really cool. It's this whole idea of opening up, of basically being the chosen one, kind of, because your ancestor is just like a really big deal at one point. But
I like that a lot. Yeah, I like that a lot.
It'll be a lot of fun. So, I mean, you get some ancestral spells at level 3, just like you would with, you know, any other subclass and everything. But you actually get to, you know, use your force of personality to channel your ancestor's knowledge. So you can use your charisma modifier. When you would make an intelligence check, you use that instead. Plus you're proficient in either arcana, history, investigation, nature, or religion, which again, totally makes sense. If you have that like nugget of your ancestor in some form with you, that's pretty great. Let's see. You choose the form that your ancestor takes, which is pretty cool.
It's definitely one of the most RP oriented subclasses I think I've seen.
Yeah.
In a long time. Cause there's a big character connection and not just mechanics.
Mm-hmm. Like it's almost like having a sorcerer that's a warlock, because you have a patron in a sense.
It's like the, Baldur's Gate 3, like guardian kind of persona.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
That you create when you create your character.
Yeah, I would say so. That's actually
they
really
are kind of guiding you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was kind of the first thing I thought about when I read that. I was like, okay, I can see that. Like this powerful force that is helping guide you through using magic and doing spells and other things.
Yeah. One thing that's pretty great is level 6 is the superior spell disruption. So when you're casting counterspell or dispel magic, and you have your innate sorcery active, they don't cost a spell slot, which is great. I absolutely love that. But on top of that too, like if you're doing counterspell with that, whoever you're casting it against has disadvantage on their save for it, which is pretty great. Then dispel has it, or dispel magic, you get advantage on ability checks to end, you know, ongoing spells. So it's, you know, again, kind of tapping into that knowledge of, hey, you know, a lot of magical stuff, help me kind of figure out how to, you know, block that person or turn this effect off or something like that. It's pretty cool.
It's the same with like the level 14, the steady spellcaster, right? Your deep connection with your ancestor steadies you. Taking damage can't break your concentration on sorcerer spells. Yes. Not only is that extremely powerful, I just love the visualization of like damage coming in and like your ancestor hovering over you, like protecting your mind and steadying you even as your body bleeds.
Yeah.
Type thing.
This is totally the
very cool visual.
The Dragon Ball Z Gohan versus Cell like final Kamehameha with Goku like kind of spiritually over his shoulder shooting with him and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like I said, it's a very I think there's really strong RP elements to this. And I think as a DM, you could have a lot of fun with it and make some very meaningful moments, even just out of mechanical things.
Yeah. And then on top of that, too, you essentially get a legendary resistance at level 18, which is pretty great. Yeah. Gotta love that.
Very cool. Yeah, very cool. I like the concept a lot. I'd have to play it, you know, try it out, see how it felt. But just flavor wise, yeah, big thumbs up. For sure.
So yeah, I mean, who'd have thought that? Hey, here's another class for a sorcerer, but it's a lot of fun. You know, it's different. It's a new flavor that I didn't think that we would be, you know, really kind of diving into, but I kind of want to play one, especially at a higher level. I think it'll be a lot of fun to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree. But that is all the new stuff. It's quite a bit. Like I said, if the survey is not open now, it will be very soon. This came out roughly 10, 11 days ago, at time of recording. So it's been out in the wild a little bit. Just like Ben said, we'd love to hear feedback, share it on Blue Sky, email, on our Discord. We'd love to have a conversation back and forth, to kind of see what you thought, because, as any Unearthed Arcana stuff, comes out, it's always very interesting to talk about. I mean, you might even get to play it in like a one shot or something, which is always fun to do too. So would love to hear your feedback and your thoughts on this.
Yeah.
All right, Ben, speaking of subclasses, we decided it might be kind of fun, if we talked a little bit about subclass themes that we would like to see that may not necessarily be covered yet. So this topic's going to be a little bit spitbally, a little bit freeform. But Ben, I'll let you go first, because it's always fun to get the old creative juices flowing, and kind of design or theory craft or think about something that could be super fun that may not really have coverage yet. And there's still a pretty wide berth of content that is not covered, right? Official stuff is only ever going to be able to do so much. Some of the best stuff, in my opinion, for D&D has come out of third parties. Yeah. So Ben, what have you brought to the table tonight for kind of our little subclass design workshop?
Well, I've thought of two different ones, and I kind of like looked at Warlock and thought, hey, what about this class, but Warlock? And essentially, I kind of came up with the idea of devil themed subclasses, which we'll do that first, and then we'll jump into the other one in a minute here. But I like the idea of not like demon themed, or, you know, like hellfire or anything like that, but devil specifically, because of the whole lawful nature of devils. And I like the idea that, like, just for a couple examples here, I have the Path of Law monk, which I don't remember if it's like lawful warrior or whatever they're calling it these days in 5.5. But so, you know, they get demonic powers, you know, add that kind of either flame or ice kind of based elementalism to it. But the idea is that in their monastic tradition, they're basically following their own rules of law. It's kind of like how they deem the world. And this is what, you know, they're like this, well, sense of justice going through and putting their laws into effect. I thought that'd be kind of interesting to see how it would kind of play out and everything. Another one would be, I called it a celestial hunter ranger, because, you know, you're focusing on having like a devil as your source of power. You're actually hunting celestial beings of some sort for some reason, you know, giving you like access to maybe like a demonic pet, like a devil dog or something like that. And then also, again, you know, kind of devil powers, flaming arrows if you're, you know, going ranged, you know, flaming sword, you know, basically kind of fiery stuff like that. But, you know, kind of leaning into that whole like law or rule of the jungle kind of thing, because, you know, kind of, you know, going along that aspect. Again, I don't have anything like super planned for those, but I just like the idea of having like some sort of, you know, laws of this, laws of that, laws of this, you know, kind of aspect to it. And then my favorite one that I kind of thought up with this is the devil cleric. Now, I'm not talking about a cleric who follows like an evil god, but one who specifically has not necessarily like a devil patron, but an arrangement or a deal with a devil. You know, that's kind of where their powers are coming from. So they're going to get like, you know, a lot of, again, like fire, you know, type of spell effects and everything like that. But either they have them specifically trapped, or you know, they have a contract built on it. Yeah, I didn't mean to hit my mic. Anyways, they have a contract built into this.
Emphasize
exactly. And I don't know how exactly it would play out, but I like the idea that there's a finite resource where if you like invoke either your not divine intervention, what's the other thing that clerics get that I can't think of off the top of my head?
Channel divinity.
Channel divinity. There you go. Like, you have a certain amount of channel divinities, and once you hit your last one, the devil is free, or it's time for you to make your payment. And you know, you're kind of like walking that line. It's the idea of Vox Machina when Percy makes, you know, has a contract with the devil. And how there's like three phases.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
Yeah. And I thought a cleric is going to be the best way to kind of go with this, because, you know, yeah, devil follows the laws and everything, but they also kind of want that soul, want that corruption out there and everything as well. So I thought a cleric would be the best way to kind of have that kind of balance play out.
That's interesting. I really like that a lot. Like one of those kind of risk reward power things where, yeah,
exactly,
maybe as you go, certain things might become more powerful, or there may be a big benefit after you use it all, but also a big drawback.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to decide when you want that to happen, or maybe it just happens when you get desperate enough and have to use your channel divinities up.
Yeah. And as a DM who has one of those characters in your game, you would definitely know about the devil, have access to it, and probably have them plotting to put that cleric in situations so that they call upon that channel divinity to, you know, to use it and get, you know, closer and closer to that end point.
It's like a pseudo warlock, but for the divine side of things,
yeah,
versus maybe the arcane side of things.
Exactly. It's the idea that your Green Lantern ring isn't good enough. You need to get that fear-based one instead. You know, you start out green and then move to yellow. And I'm probably talking out of my butt with that because I don't know DC all that well. But I know Sinestro used to be green, now he's yellow. So
yeah. I'm sure there's way more lantern colors than I'm aware of.
Oh, there's a ton. Point. Yeah. Thank you. Random YouTube rabbit holes. Anyways. But yeah, so that's kind of like, you know, a grouping that I thought would be kind of interesting. Again, you know, focusing on the law of whatever aspect they're kind of pulling from because of the nature of the devils themselves.
Yeah. I like that a lot. I like that a lot.
What about you?
Yeah, say for me, I was just kind of thinking in terms of the abstract. And one thing I thought would be kind of interesting is something to do with light. Not light like the cleric domain,
mm-hmm,
type thing where it's like Healy based and stuff. I'm talking light as a concept, like, you know, actual light, darkness, that sort of thing.
It's like the exact opposite of a devil class.
So something something more like physically based or magically based. So this would maybe be a subclass for like a wizard, or a subclass for maybe a monk, right? That can manipulate light.
Okay.
To do different things. Create hard light to form shields and such. Blind and bedazzle their enemies or adversaries. Create images or duplicates that would follow along and do the same thing. So that type of thing, not like light equals heal or light equals good, light equals physics.
Yeah.
Magic.
That's cool. Like, creating weaponry or something like that. Like, not like a lightsaber or something, but like, yeah, like a manifestation of that light is your blade or something along those lines.
Yeah. For my Brandon Sanderson fans out there, think your Stormlight, your shard blades that you have this being or this object of power, but they can manipulate it into various different forms, be it a sword or a spear or a shield or something like that, that you could then that have, properties, some special properties that make it beyond the mundane of the real life version of that sword or spear or shield.
Well, and the neat thing about that too is that you can look at different spectrums and, kind of flavor things based off of that. You know, whether you go with say like warm tones or cool tones, maybe like into an infrared or ultraviolet, and kind of play off that with how that would manifest in different powers or different ways. How you could teleport by going ultraviolet and not being seen or something like that. Cause you got to teleport. That's the new rule. Of course you have just the super simple, like, oh, I can see in magical darkness because of the infrared band or something along those lines.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah,
light as a concept, not as a magical thing, healy thing. Yeah.
And you automatically get fairy fire as something that you can cast because you're adding light to something, or adding an aura around things.
There's a whole bunch of light based cantrips and spells that, especially for like the wizard side, you could get as a prepared spell list. As the monk side, you could cast, light or dancing lights for free. You've got like blinding flash or, there's a lot of like kind of very light based spells the prismatic spray.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's a great light based type spell that you could flavor really wonderfully. So there's a lot of that. So that's kind of what I'm thinking about when I talk about doing some sort of light based class.
I like that.
Or subclass.
As a wizard, your spell focus is actually just a tiny disco ball too.
That would be super funny.
Oh yeah, totally.
I wear a necklace with a tiny mirror.
Yeah.
That's my
flash of light, blinding light. Like there's so much that you can kind of do with that. And adding just different like enhancements and stuff to like martial classes and stuff would be really interesting to go along with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I said, it's not fully fleshed out or anything, but it's a concept that I think could be very interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot that we can kind of dig into with that. Shed some light on some ideas or something like that. Or shine a light on it.
There you go.
That better.
There you go.
Anyways.
Oh, good.
I was going to say, if you're ready to move on, I do have my second subclass idea, which.
Yes.
So this is actually what's prompted the whole idea of this as a topic to me, because when Ryan was like, hey, what about topics? I'm like, what if, you know, what if we themed different subclass ideas? And again, kind of looked at warlocks, but the idea is that the D&D universe is so full of a lot of stuff that I'm like, you know, warlocks are really kind of the only things that dig into that whole deep old one idea. And I thought it'd be kind of interesting to have that spread out into another couple classes. Like first and foremost, a fighter, had an idea of course, you know, they can see in the dark and stuff like that, but as they kind of level up, their bodies change, whether they grow spikes or more eyes or, you know, something like kind of otherworldly about them, you know, maybe get a higher AC, or like grow tendrils that they can use to parry, you know, giving them an ability to parry something like slap a weapon away or something like that. Or maybe like hold a third weapon. I mean, fighters get like 20 attacks per round anyway. Give them a third weapon to kind of, you know, have options on how they're hitting things or something. I thought that'd be kind of cool. Another one that I really liked was the Madness Barbarian. Basically, their rage is mixed with madness and their attacks cause like extra psychic damage. And like they just cause this fear and craziness to, you know, targets that they attack, you know, maybe causing confusion or, you know, just hallucinations or something like that, that, you know, adds that psychic damage or turns them against their foes or something along those lines. And then I had, again, I was just trying to play with the themes, like the School of Far Realm for wizards. And of course their spell list would include all the, like the, you know, the freaky warlock ones with all the tendrils and tentacles and stuff like that, but also have an emphasis on, you know, again, fear, confusion. Their special thing is like a psychic fireball is the best way I can describe it. Basically, you know, radius of a fireball, but like psychic damage kind of goes out and hits and everything. I just thought this is really a very deep well that we can pull from that no other classes really have any sort of access to. And the idea of, you know, you changing into like this kind of horror show as you level up seems really interesting to me as a concept.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that would be a very, not necessarily for everybody, but from a character perspective, you could really design something around that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, you definitely want to have a very specific kind of campaign setting for it. I don't think you want to have like, you know, happy, happy fun time, you know, stuff going on. Although it may work really well in a fae setting too.
I mean, it would probably fit well in a campaign with, remember the recent horror Unearthed Arcana?
Yeah.
Like that, like, ranger, like the
one that turns into the glory stuff. And
Yeah,
that could work.
Yeah, you could work along with something like that, yeah, for sure.
I might have to workshop some of those for like, especially.
Well, I was going to say, I definitely haven't talked to you about this at all yet. So that's why I'm bringing it up now live. But I think it might be fun. No promises and no timeline. It might be fun if we started releasing a little bit of Dean Discussions content.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Be it because D&D Beyond, you can make subclasses and such that then people can go grab and add to their homebrew and then have available for characters and stuff. So potentially, beyond these and more, we might start looking into making some custom content that we can then just be like, hey, this, we made a subclass. It's live. You can go D&D Beyond and add it.
Yeah, try it out.
Check it out.
Know what you think.
Yeah. Try it out. Playtest. Yeah. So, we might start doing a little bit of that.
I think it could work. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, got any cool subclass ideas? They've been rolling around in your head. Let us know. Hit us up on all the spots. We'd love to chat about those things. All right. So, with that, We are going to jump into our community content shout out. This week is actually super cool. Not necessarily D&D related, but tabletop RPG related. And of course, this show does cover that as well whenever we can. Mm-hmm. The Humble Bundle is hosting a Roll Big or Go Home bundle that is to raise money for Extra Life, which is a wonderful charity. In it, there is a 19-item bundle, a 38-item bundle, and a 57-item bundle, the 57 one being at least 40 or more, and it has 57 different RPGs, many of which are very exciting and ones I want to play. Just looking through this real fast, like Avatar, Legends, the role-playing game, Transformers, Cyberpunk Red, Morkborg, Warhammer Fantasy. There's a Dishonored role-playing game. Yeah, kind of cool. Love those games. Call of Cthulhu, G.I. Joe, The Witcher, there's Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Masks, which is the superhero one, the new Power Rangers RPG that just came out fairly recently, plus many, many more. So if you are interested in checking out some other systems, and some of them fairly like mainstream mm-hmm. or big franchise based, this is an amazing, amazing deal for $40 or more if you want to, because it's all going to charity. But it is a very good deal. So if you any of those are sounding interesting or you want to check those out, we'll have the link in the show notes to that bundle on dndiscussions.com.
Yeah, it looks like you do have a limited time for this. If my math is correct, it should be ending, I believe, on July 20th. Around maybe 10 Pacific, something like that. Again, if my math is right, maybe the 21st, I don't know. Either way, jump in, check it out, and pick it up. It's a really good deal.
Yeah, I did. when I get paid to play them, I don't know, but maybe me and Ben will play them together.
I'd be in for it.
Just because.
Especially if I could be like a cat, which one of them is be like a cat.
Be like a cat. That sounds like right up both of our alleys.
Yeah, exactly.
But with that, that will bring us to about the end of the show. Of course, we usually talk a little bit about the things we're doing in our game. So, Ben, did you get to play since we last talked?
No, but we are going to be playing this Sunday, and Nevermore and I are going to be doing a one shot at our gaming store, or joining in on a one shot at our gaming store this Saturday. It's
fun.
Christmas in July, and we got into the Die Hard game or Die Hard themed game. So I am very excited about this.
I'm excited to hear how that one goes. Sounds super fun.
Yep, we get to be elves, and there are Christmas elves that are coming to take over the building, and it's going to be pretty great.
Oh, phenomenal.
Yeah. What about you? You get a chance to play at all?
I have not played again yet. However, as a recording tomorrow, I'm going to be playing one shot for an RPG called Best Left Buried. Ooh. It's kind of a dungeon crawler-esque RPG. I've not played it yet, so one of my buddies is running it. I'm very excited, so I'll be able to report in on that next time we get an episode out.
Sounds good.
But as always, we'd love to hear what's going on in your games. Hit us up on email, Blue Sky Discord, and we'd love to hear what is going on in your games as well. So Ben, mm-hmm. before we head out of here, why don't you tell everyone where they can do that?
Of course. You just mentioned Blue Sky. Well, hey, you can find the show on Blue Sky. We are at D&D Discussions. Ryan is at TBKZord, and I am at Ben Bumhofer. If you want to join our Discord, I highly recommend it because, you know, I'm there and I like talking to the people who are on it. You can always find a link to that on dndiscussions.com. Which is our website that has every single episode that we have ever made. So if you're looking for some past episodes or, you know, want to kind of hear some of the previous stuff or dig into some topics that you are thinking about maybe, you know, touching on your games, hey, check it out, dndiscussions.com. You'll find a link to our Discord, all of our socials as well. Now, if you want to hear what it's like when I play some Dungeons & Dragons, you can check out Plus 5 to Hit. I am a barbarian who is running around doing barbarian stuff. Having a lot of fun with that, so check out Plus 5 to Hit. As for us, again, check us out on Discord, check us out on Blue Sky, and last but not least, if you don't want to you know, reach out in some sort of public manner, you can always email us. Send those emails to dndiscussions@gmail.com, and we'd love to hear from you. With that being said, everybody, thank you very much for listening, supporting, and especially giving your positive feedback. It's wonderful to hear, so thank you. Ted Semi, I'm talking to you. Other than that, Ryan, it is always a blast. Thank you so much for meeting with me this wonderful night. And until next time, everybody, be good to each other and roll high. I flipped it.
Take care.
It threw me off.
Yeah, I was like, what's going on?
I know, and I threw you off too.
You did. Take care, and we'll see you soon.